The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew.
Glory to you, Lord.
Jesus said to his disciples, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, 'Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? Did we not drive out demons in your name? Did we not do mighty deeds in your name?' Then I will declare to them solemnly, 'I never knew you. Depart from me, you evildoers.' Everyone who listens to these words of mine and acts on them will be like a wise man who built his house on rock. The rain fell, the floods came, the winds blew and buffeted the house, but it did not collapse. It had been set solidly on rock. And everyone who listens to these words of mine but does not act on them will be like a fool who built his house on sand. The rains fell, the floods came, and the winds blew and buffeted the house, and it collapsed and was completely ruined." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
So, today's readings got me thinking about sand. You might guess, where do we get sand? Anyone? Anyone? Ready Mix Concrete Company, they provide sand. Okay, where do they get it? From bigger rocks, okay. And where do bigger rocks come from? Bigger, very bigger, yeah, bigger rocks. Until maybe those rocks become the size of mountains. We get sand through a process of erosion, and it comes from mountains. But if you were to take a jeweler's loop or a magnifying glass and knew some geology, you could pick up a small rock or a piece of sand and look at it and know where it came from. And you would know what rock and where within Southeast Alaska that rock came from, or you'd go, this looks like it came from Hawaii. What's it doing here? They actually do, with the scanning electron microscope, can tell which obsidian was traded to make the spear points that moved around from the two or three places where they could find obsidian in Southeast and at what time it was quarried. So there's a lot of these little bits of sand. I mean, these are just chips, can tell us about what was going on. And at this point, you're going, nice geology class, but we're in church. What are you talking about? Well, I would suggest we've been settling for sand in our faith and not the rock itself. Let me explain. In 1880, anybody remember what happened in 1880 here in Juneau? Gold, right, was discovered by Joe Juneau and Richard Harris in Gold Creek, which is down there by the Federal Building. They found color in their gold pans, and then they went back to Sitka. And you're like, guys, maybe you want to know where that came from? It would be a year and a half later that they go and follow it up Gold Creek and find the source of that gold in Silver Bow Basin. If you've hiked Perseverance Trail, that heads back to where they found the source of the gold. And my point is, I think we have found color in the pan of our faith, if you will, a lot. We have little bits of it, and we're satisfied with that mere little bit. And we don't go to the source. We don't investigate further. We don't work any harder because we found a little bit, and we've considered that enough. Some examples. Jesus, at the end of our reading today, right, we have six verses, pretty exciting, six verses, kind of long for the church. And it says, unless you listen to these words of mine, which words? What is he talking about? Does anybody know what this is the end of? It's the end of the Sermon on the Mount. We recognize at least the word Sermon on the Mount. But it's three chapters long. It's all of chapter 5, all of chapter 6, and all of chapter 7, and we get the last six verses of a three-chapter sermon, and we're supposed to totally wrap our life around it because we know everything we need to know. I would suggest going down to Hearthside Books, finding a book you like, ripping out the last three pages, paying for them, right? And then going home and reading them and saying, yes, I found it, the bestseller. This was a fantastic conclusion. But you don't know any of the characters. You don't know any of the plot line. All you know is that it ends, well, happily ever after, hopefully. Or in some somber, depressing mood. I don't know. Depends on what book you choose. But do you see what I mean? We have gold in our pan. We have beautiful words of wisdom of Jesus, but we merely have color. We haven't gone to the source. So you have some homework. You ready? Summer school is here. We're going to take our Bibles out, and we're going to read the Sermon on the Mount. It takes 11 minutes for a slow reader. It's not very long. Okay, it's in Matthew 5, 6, and 7. There'll be a quiz next week. The church will be empty. You had homework last week. I think I reminded you to read the sixth chapter of John, which is all about the Eucharist. Because last week, again, we got the last few lines of the sixth chapter of John, and it's just not fair. You're being cheated. Climb up into Silver Bow Basin and find the source of all of this treasure. But we do it in other ways as well. I mean, so first of all, you got to, like, did you read your Bible this week? This month? This decade? Come on, decade? Come on, somebody's read their Bible this decade. Okay. And so if you can find your Bible, dust it off, and read these three chapters. It'll just take a few minutes. It's actually shorter than the front page of the Empire. Wouldn't they have big pictures? But we do it in other ways as well. What's that anointing of the sick? Who should receive the anointing of the sick? We'll get one call here for the sick. Good. Anyone else? The dying. Now, is it for the sick or is it for the dying? It's for the sick. This sense that it was extreme unction, that's something else than the anointing of the sick. That's the viaticum and the apostolic pardon for your way to heaven. That's the part that's the last rites. And that's kind of reserved for those who are dying. This other part, the anointing of the sick, which is often, unfortunately, done at the same time, so hence the confusion, is for those who are sick. Now, how many people have been sick and survived? Okay, you're all had the opportunity to receive this sacrament that can be received again and again and again. It's not something to wait until, right, you're dead. I get a call from the hospital. Our patient just died. Could you come and do the last rites? No. The last rites are for the living, not the dead. There's other prayers we can say for the dead, but it's too late at that point. You see what I mean? We have treasure in the sacraments of the church, and we fail to use them. We're happy with so little. And I'm telling you, you've been cheated. Don't settle for just a tiny bit. Go find the source. Now, we could go through all the sacraments, but really, I'll save you one more. Reconciliation. That's a big winner, right? Really big winner. It's being used a lot. Actually, I was pretty busy in the confessional this Saturday, but sometimes I just get an extra hour of prayer in. And I wonder if John Paul II and Mother Teresa went every day, and they're saints, and I go monthly or quarterly, and I'm clearly not a saint, as it was, we were all so rudely reminded of in the letter to the Romans. Thank you, Kevin. Right? We are all sinners and fall short of the glory of God. They're saints, and they go to confession every day. And I go, when I get around to it, annually, Father, my last confession was 35 years ago. And I say, welcome home. This is a small town. We know each other's sins. That's not a surprise. Right? Come on now. We are here to receive absolution and the freedom from the what's causing us suffering in those sins. Maybe an example will help. How many people know somebody who wears glasses whose eyesight is so poor they can't see that their glasses are desperately dirty? And you just want to take their glasses and say, can I clean those? I'll be right back. Because they are so bad. I mean, there's like pieces of bagel or something hanging off their glasses. Well, you know, or mud, or I don't know. But it's like, can they even see through those? And I just want to, excuse me, I'll wash your glasses. I need to wash mine. We'll just do these together. I mean, there's a big fingerprint right in the center there. And while I play that up as kind of funny, that's what our life is like without reconciliation. We've got a bunch of fingerprints in front, or dirt, or whatever you will, in front of our spiritual sight that we can see God through, or maybe can't see God through. Does that make sense? That's why I think the saints went as often as they needed, or even more often. They made it their regular habit to immerse themselves in the sacraments of the church, including reconciliation. I mean, we won't talk about the fact that Mother Teresa spent 2 hours in prayer every morning before she started her day and went to daily Mass. I mean, like, she's a saint. Well, we'll just let her do that. But there's some of these things that we could do ourselves that would help us grow in holiness. And I think we've been settling for far too little. I'm not trying to chastise you. I'm trying to encourage you, because the option is holiness, which is way better than anything else we've tried. Way better. More fun. Divine life in us, radiating out to the world. Don't you think John Paul II lived a tremendously glorious life? Or Mother Teresa or Francis of Assisi? We all get persecution. You might as well get persecution for the Lord's sake and not our own. Because for the Lord's sake, persecution is nothing to the one being persecuted. For our sake, it's suffering and depression and gloominess and on, we won't go there. So, how do you pull this together? I would suggest that our saints merely have better habits than we do. And think about that. What is our regular habit? We have a regular habit of doing certain things. Olympic athletes have regular habits of exercise, rest, nutrition, hydration, right? Stretching, all of that. And they become better Olympic athletes. The rest of us, well, you know, we'll get around to exercising next month, or maybe when it's sunny. So you should all be really exhausted. Because it's been sunny for 2 weeks straight. Right? What habit are we willing to have in our spiritual life? You're here on Sunday. Fantastic. A great habit. But there's more. You just have color in your pan. There's so much more. How about 10 minutes a day, right? Or one chapter of a gospel. Just read through the gospels again and again and again until all of those stories are your story. Our God is calling us to build our faith not on sand, not on little bits of truth that have washed away and are somehow disorganized in a pile over here, but to go to the source and build our faith, our home there with Christ our rock. What will we do differently this week to help build better habits in our spiritual life, that we might know the source of our faith at, if you will, the mother lode?